You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout.
Hello and welcome to episode 127 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. I'm delighted this afternoon to be joined by Zandra Thomas. Zandra, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks.
Thank you so much for coming on. And we've got, yeah, really interesting Hirschsprung story to talk through this afternoon. So I'm going to hand over to you, because my voice is going. Would you like to take us back to the beginning?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I remember it like it was yesterday. So I guess one of the things that really caught me whenever I first had him, you know, just thinking of having kids before, and I was just imagining like this typical birth because I've had two kids before. And then, you know, things went downhill pretty quickly, I'd say around day two of us being in the hospital, or maybe it was one, around 24 hours. He started like vomiting, and it was more like a mucus. And we got lucky because there were two nurses there at the time. They're like, they didn't have a lot of people giving birth, and so we got lucky. I had my own nurse and he had his own nurse, and the nurse that was over me, I kept saying, I'm like, he's just like has a lot of mucus and he's kind of like choking on it a little bit. And she's like, oh, he's fine. You know what to do. Just pat him on the back. You've had kids before. And I was like, okay, you're right. I'm just a little nervous. And then he kept doing it. And it was like glob just kind of coming out of his mouth and hitting the floor. So I reached out to his nurse, you know, I'm like, I'm not really sure, you know, what's going on, but I'm a little nervous about it. And she's like, you know what? His belly just looks really big. She's like, this just doesn't look normal. And I'm like, I don't know. That's how I felt. I'm like, I don't know. And she like decided to look at him more and look into it more. And definitely was watching him. And all I remember at one point is just like having him on my like shirt, just patting his back, and he started vomiting. And when he was vomiting, it was like the bile or like the green that they're concerned about. All the while they were really concerned, like why he hadn't had his first bowel movement, which is also concerning, right? You need to have your first bowel movement. They're really looking for that the entire time. When I had him, I was at a hospital that doesn't specialize in like children, right? Just for women having babies, right? So, we had to transfer to a whole different hospital. And that was nerve-wracking for me because I feel like I didn't get that downtime after having a baby, right? I just had to get up and go. Just get up, go to the next hospital, pack all my things. It was really stressful. We get to the new hospital and his doctor, I can't remember his name, but he was like, do you have any history of Hirschsprung's disease? And I'm like, no, like, I don't even know what the heck you're talking about. Like, what is that? I had no clue what Hirschsprung's disease was. So I'm like, we've had, you know, other bowel issues in my family. I don't have anything. I had no idea. Almost immediately, they're like, he needs to have an emergency surgery to figure out what's going on. They thought initially that his bowel was like, I think, twisted or something. So I think like upon taking him into surgery, they were going to do like it's an enema type thing. It's like to like see how his bowels are moving around and looking under like an x-ray or something. And as soon as they put like the tube up his bottom, he pooped. And they were like, oh, that's a really good sign that, you know, something's going on. But they still moved forward with the surgery to kind of figure out, because they seen that his bowels were not twisted. They're like, it looks fine. They're not twisted. So they moved forward with like an exploratory surgery. And this was when he was 2 days old. It was really, oh my gosh. I feel like I was really stressed out in those moments to even like remember everything because it was really stressful. But yes, he had the surgery. It took hours. I felt like it was hours. And he came out. I will remember them like taking the, like the, is it the incubator? Like, I don't even know. It's when it's in his mouth to like keep him breathing and stuff during surgery. I can't think of the proper word for it right now. But when they took it out, he wasn't ready to breathe on his own. And boom, they had to like bag him, giving him air. And that, oh my gosh, I was like, is my son laying here lifeless right now? And he really was. They had to bag him up until they could put the tubing back in his mouth to breathe for him. And he was really having a hard time maintaining like his body temperature and all of the things. And quickly they realized that it wasn't just, which we will learn at some point, was Hirschsprung's. He was having heart issues. So, not really sure where that came from. His heart was literally like beating out of his chest. You could see it. And he was really pale and just very, very, very pale and like bluish. So they had to life flight him from that hospital to another hospital, 2 hours away, which was really, really, really nerve-wracking. It was like the middle of the night. It was the middle of the night when they called, and I had just went home to like lay down. I'm like, I'm gonna go to sleep and just get some rest. I know he's in good hands. And then as soon as I like close my eyes, they're calling me like, we're concerned. He needs to go. They didn't have a pediatric heart surgeon there. And so we had to life flight. So they paralyzed him. I'll never forget that. I had to like sign all these papers basically saying if he didn't make it, that I was like okay with it, you know? But they had to paralyze him so that he didn't pull out any of his tubings and things on the way to the hospital. So I drove there 2 hours away, speeding. At least that's what it felt like. And then when we got there, we had to wait quite a bit of time before we could see him because they were hooking him up to all of this medication. I can remember him having like rows and rows of IV medications just connected to him to help maintain his heart health. It was. Oh my gosh. Really, really hard to see because he did lay there lifeless for, I mean, it felt like days before he started to perk up, and the medicine actually worked for his heart. And we stayed on that heart unit, I'd say it was 30 days. So his first month of his life, we were in the hospital. And we quickly learned how to do irrigations. At the hospital, really new because they didn't want to do surgery on him because he had heart issues. So we were learning all the things about what irrigations are and how do they work. And it's really different than like looking at a bottle, like an enema bottle and knowing how to give an enema, which I've done. It's just different. It's just not the same. So we did that. I don't know how many times. And learn that. But they weren't ready to do any surgeries. So during that time there at that hospital, we got a lot of different diagnoses. We got sleep apnea, we were learning about how to give him shots because he ended up with a blood clot. Because he had a PICC line, right? After a while, they won't let you have a regular IV. So he had that PICC line. It caused a blood clot. And we had to give him like injections in his leg, blood thinners. We were learning that. He kind of was eating, learned to eat a little bit. That took a little bit of time because he was using the NG tube and that was actually going down into his stomach, right? But obviously, at first, they used it to like get things out. But as he got better, then we were like putting breast milk in it to feed him through there. Bless you. So 30 days of a lot of different things. We eventually got to go home, which was nice. And with that time of being home, irrigations were really, 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 really challenging. That's something I really haven't had a chance to talk about myself, because I don't think people will understand that. It's so different. But we spent, I'd say, like 6 months doing that because I wanted him to heal, get better, get off his heart medicines, or at least kind of come off his blood clot meds. And at 6 months, we ended up back in the hospital to do the pull through. And that's just like getting the bad, right? Getting the bad intestines out. To, I guess, the stuff that doesn't work out. And we did that. And that went downhill pretty quick, actually. It made me really not, I don't know. I think it does matter what doctors we see. And, there's doctors out here that really do specialize in Hirschsprung's disease. And so I do realize that. I'm scared though because of what happened when he had this pull through. He had it and almost immediately just was not like his happy self anymore. When he finally came out of it, I was just like, this is not my, like, it's not the baby that I knew 6 hours ago, like, at all. It was not the same kid. But I'm like, you know what? I tried to be like optimistic and just like, understand that this is going to be a healing journey for him. But we ended up spending another month in the hospital because of all the complications. I think, shoot, during that time, he had two or maybe three surgeries. Because I think they went back in to like see if everything looked good because his belly was so distended and he wasn't having a bowel movement. And then he just still wouldn't get better. So they did another surgery and that ultimately ended into his colostomy placement, his ostomy placement. And that, I mean, that basically sent us home, kind of, because him being in the hospital so long, they don't let you eat whenever you do surgeries. And so for a really long time, he didn't eat. And we didn't realize he had the developmental delays that he has. But with him not eating, he just chose not to eat anymore. He was like, well, if I don't have to, if I can't eat, then I'm not gonna eat. And so he wouldn't eat, and that kept us in the hospital even longer. Yeah, they wanted to like make him eat every like 2 hours, and he just wasn't wanting to eat. So then, like, I know the nurses can get really busy in the hospital, and so they were just like kind of hooking it up to the pump and putting it through his tube instead of like trying to feed him. So it really did drag out our time there. But he just got that NG tube and they sent him home with the feeding tube, and that was a whole nother journey. I think we were home doing that for like, I'd say it was like maybe a week or two because I finally was like, you know what? We're not gonna feed him every 2 hours. We're just gonna slow down on feeding him and let him cry when he's hungry and feed him. And then he started to eat. So our ostomy journey was great. That was another 6 months of ostomy life. It's really changed how he, and just in general, his temperament and how happy he is. But then doctor was like, we've got to reverse this. He can't live with this forever. And I'm like, you know what? You're right, he can. I'd rather do it sooner than later. Let's get it done. All right. So we go back 6 months later. So he's about a year old this time. And we get that reversal. And I unfortunately couldn't stay. I had to work. I had just started a job and I teach. And so I can't just like cancel class. So I had dad go and my mom was kind of in and out as well during that time. And I remember his dad telling me after his surgery, he was a little fussy. So he just kind of set him up. And when he set him up after that reversal, his incision just busted open and all the poop just came out. And obviously, that was an immediate emergency surgery because you don't want to have poop in your body cavity. It can cause you to go septic. And I was devastated. I was so like, I was, my anxiety was through the roof during that time because, for one, because I wasn't there. And I just was like, you know what? I have to go. I need to go check on my son, make sure he's good. He had his surgery for a new placement of the ostomy. And during that time, he wasn't doing like the best. Like, I don't really know exactly what was going on with him, but they like had to give him a blood transfusion. And he had all these, goodness, all these tubes. So he had the ostomy, and then he had a catheter. And he also ended up getting an infection or something during that time, like in his back. It was really weird. I don't know how he got the infection, but he had all these tubes. So, like, when they did the blood transfusion, you just seen all of the blood come out of all of the tubes. And that was just, that alone was scary. And, you know, just seeing that makes you really feel like that. You know, is my son going to live through this? Is he going to make it? Because doctors are going to be like very professional. You know, they're not going to tell you they're concerned like that. But with time, he definitely got better. It just took another month. So he's in the hospital for another month before he, you know, was able to go home. And we've had that ostomy ever since. Ever since. I have really denied the doctor even coming back and doing another biopsy on him because of the devastating surgeries that we've had. Pretty scary to think about. So I advocated, and I have talked about just keeping his ostomy for now, and his doctor's like, I'm okay with that, but we just don't usually do this. I'm like, what are you gonna do with him? So,
Wow. Wow. I
yeah.
mean, well, when people say, oh, we don't usually do this, well, Hirschsprung's is not a usual condition. I
Oh,
mean,
you're right.
yeah. And so, like, I mean, there's so many different types of Hirschsprung's, ways of managing certain parts to do with Hirschsprung's. So I think, I'm a big advocate for mother's instinct. Saved my life. So,
Yeah.
if it's one of those things where, yeah, Hirschsprung's is not, it's not like asthma, it's not like diabetes, it's not a condition that you'll see every day. I mean, even
Yeah.
doing what I do here, it's just not a condition you'll see every day. So yeah, I yeah, no, it's an odd one. But in terms
It
of
really is.
the Hirschsprung's itself, what were you ever told what type of Hirschsprung's your son has?
Sure, yeah, that's a really good question because I've noticed it a lot just kind of researching and looking it up. He never told me, the doctor has never told me. I know he said that he didn't have to cut out a lot, but I don't know what that means. Yeah. So I imagine it was just like a short segment, but that doesn't mean that's what it was. I really haven't been told the exact type, no.
It's interesting. Well, to some people, I mean, I think it kind of depends on where you are, sometimes what country you're in, what hospital you're in, whether they actually give it a name like short or long segment or whatever. And sometimes they'll tell you we took out X amount of, centimeters or whatever. So I think sometimes it can depend on where you are and whatnot. But they never told you sort of we took out this much and or it's
No.
called this or whatever.
No, he was just like,
Oh,
it
okay.
wasn't a lot. At
Oh, that's
least that's what I
specific.
remember. Yeah.
That.
Being stressed out in those moments, sometimes you don't even, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so much at once. It was really hard to even focus. But that would be something I thought I'd remember. But it was definitely just, it's short. It wasn't a lot. That's what I thought.
Might just well be short segment then, possibly. Who knows?
There's a chance, yeah.
But there was definitely, I know, going back to what you said at the beginning about the mucus and the bile and the distended tummy. I mean, all of those point to sort of classic Hirschsprungs, all of those three. But I guess that was really good of the hospital that they noticed, and again, having two nurses there probably very helpful. But
Yes.
was that sort of reassuring for you? Were they noticed quite quickly that even though they might not have been able to diagnose that this would be Hirschsprungs, but they noticed that something was amiss?
Yeah, I'm glad that they noticed. I think really that red flag was like, oh, he's not pooping. You know what I mean? He didn't have the bowel movements. And so they were like already kind of looking at him. I do think that him having that second nurse helped like move things along in the right direction. Otherwise, I think it would have taken us a little longer to figure it out for sure.
Most definitely, most definitely.
Yeah.
And in terms of the ostomy itself, I know you said that that's really improved his quality of life over the years.
Yes.
Apart from sort of what you mentioned so far, is there anything else that you kind of thought this has been really helpful having the ostomy because of X, Y, Z?
Sure. So he's recently diagnosed with autism within the last year. And so I think that our potty training side of things are kind of on hold. So it does help that he has the ostomy so that we're not so focused on like the diaper side, because sometimes people with autism, depending on the severity, can be kind of not the great when it comes to like diapers and like what's happening with hands and things like that. So I feel like that definitely has been a blessing. It also helps. He's nonverbal, he doesn't talk. And so I've kind of thought about how if we ever did reverse, how he would get that rash on his bottom. And I can't imagine not being able to communicate him with him about like his pain levels and things like that when I know he's like in active pain or whatever, you know what I mean? Which is another reason why I really am not happy, or I don't want to send him back through surgery, because the communication's not there. We don't have a great communication style yet.
Yeah,
Sure.
no, that makes absolute sense. So, as well as obviously on top of that, with the Hirschsprungs and the autism as well, it's obviously quite a lot to cope with.
It is a lot. It's a lot. It's been a lot. I feel like he just keeps getting a new diagnosis. It's just one thing after another. I think recently, this was more recently, he was diagnosed with a genetic mutation that kind of basically his neurologist told me it makes sense why all the things that are going on with him is going on. Because he also has seizures, he has epilepsy. Yeah. But the genetic mutation, I've never heard of it. It's called EEF1A2, and it's just a I always call it a typo. Like there's a typo in that mute or that gene which has caused this mutation. And yeah. He's a lot. This kid's got a lot going on. And I always tell people, you can't really look at him and tell. You'd never have any clue that he'd have something going on, but he's got a lot going on internally for sure.
Wow. I mean, that is the thing with I guess Hirschsprungs specifically, that if you were to look at us, you wouldn't, okay, there's the ostomy bag or stoma or whatever.
Yeah.
But apart from that, you would look at us and you can't pick a Hirschsprungs person out of a lineup at all.
You wouldn't be able to. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to at all. And I know there's always those lifelong issues too that come with it. You know what I mean? Like it's not like, oh, I had my some of my colon removed and I'm just living this happy life. I've read that people live with issues even outside of their pull through.
Yeah, I think that is the thing, that everybody is very much different when it comes to Hirschsprungs. Very
Yeah.
much different. That's whether you've got short, whether you've got long, whether you've got total colonic, whatever you've got. Everybody
Interesting.
is very much different.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling
cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Which I guess kind of keeps me in a podcast, because if everything was the same, I wouldn't have any more episodes to do.
You're right, yeah.
But this, you know, the genetic mutation that you talked about,
sure,
was that discovered through like genetic testing, or was that discovered through something else?
Yeah, so when he was first born, he had the genetic testing and they didn't see anything. But he has continued to have these issues. The big red flag was he has hypotonia in his legs. So he's got really thin legs. Like, he doesn't have the muscle tone like a typical person would. And it has caused him to not walk. He just really learned to walk this year, and he's 3. So yeah, we had more genetic testing done because we couldn't figure out what was going on, like unable to like put a finger to it. And more recently he had it reanalyzed.
Yes, reanalyzed.
And they found this genetic mutation. And so I still haven't seen the genetic doctor for it, but when we do go see, we'll kind of talk about what treatment looks like and things like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's like I said before, it's an awful lot to handle at such a young age.
It's so much. Yeah.
Such a young age.
He's happy.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly the main thing, isn't it? That's the main thing. And I guess Hirschsprung's might be one of those things where we maybe don't quite realize what's going on at such a young age until we're maybe a little bit older and we sort of can understand it a bit more, because it's quite a lot to take in.
It is. And I still don't always understand all of his symptoms. You know what I mean? Because I can't communicate with him. I learn a lot through like resources.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. And with those diagnoses, I know you mentioned when you see something that you're slightly concerned about, are you then sort of happy that you get the diagnosis from that, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, are you saying like if I see something going on and I'm not really sure what it is the diagnosis like
sort of validation,
I don't know,
healing? In a
way? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Initially I was seeking like a diagnosis for his delays because he wasn't like walking or talking or crawling like a typical kid would. And so when I got the autism diagnosis, I was like, relief. But then I'm like, why are his legs so skinny? You know, like, why can't he walk? Because that doesn't always come along with, you know, autism. So yes, those diagnoses do it. Once I got the genetic mutation diagnosis, I felt a whole like weight off my shoulders because I'm not worried as much. I am, but I'm not, because I'm not fighting about like what's going on. I can look it up. It's going to give me information. There's an answer. So yeah.
No, it's good. I guess that's a lot better than thinking of something might be amiss and then you don't get a any kind of diagnosis, or you think, well, actually, is it just me? Am I just thinking, thinking things are wrong, but they're not, or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Initially his neurologist kept saying that he just had a developmental delay. That was it. And I was like, okay, you know, that makes so much sense. Really not feeling confident, or like, that's not the answer I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. There's one point we haven't touched on yet.
Sure.
That again possibly might have helped in terms of you identifying a lot of things that brought you some concern, but is that you are a licensed nurse. So
Yeah.
that I guess that gives you, I don't want to use the word an advantage in sort of being able to see things that maybe other people don't see.
Sure.
But how long have you been a licensed nurse?
I've been a nurse now for 5 years. So a little bit before he was born. I had also worked with people with developmental disabilities for a long time. Almost my whole life, actually. So 13 years, not my whole life, but my whole adult life, around 13 years. So it was really a benefit that I had been in healthcare. And when I had him, it almost feels like the perfect match. So I could support him in ways that, maybe somebody else wouldn't be able to.
I can imagine that's sort of a lot more helpful in a way, where you can, because you will obviously know, because of your training, you will know things that other people don't know, or maybe, not necessarily could sort of diagnose things, but you could spot things possibly a little bit easier. So.
Yeah, I think with his dad has like no background, and it took me a really long time to be understanding that he didn't have any background of like the healthcare side of things, because I'd see something wrong and I'd want him to see and he wouldn't understand or whatever. So it's humbled me, it's taught me a lot of things as well, just having a medically complex child. But it mostly has humbled me and given me a lot of patience for sure.
Definitely, definitely. I can imagine that's been really handy to have. And another point as well. See, I find a lot of my guests on this podcast via Instagram, as I did for you. And your page itself is so enlightening to see, because you share so much of the good, the bad, sort of everything in between. And I think that's really, really helpful for, I can imagine that's very, very helpful for a lot of people, where they kind of, because I think, and I'm possibly guilty of it as well, in sharing things on Instagram where you only share the good things and only share the things that have gone well. Excuse me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
But you share sort of everything in between the ostomy bag leaks and everything as well, which I can imagine is a nightmare.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's been really challenging. Initially, that it wasn't even my goal. It wasn't even my goal to do that. I wanted to do like family content. And then I realized, I'm like, you know what? Like, people don't know anything about this. Like, I had no clue when it was, you know, brought to me. I had no idea what it was. But yeah, I get a lot of messages from, you know, a lot of parents, and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. The bag's not staying on. Or I get really good messages where like, I'm just in the hospital with my kid right now, and I'm scrolling and I'm seeing these, you know, sorry, it makes me emotional. I'm seeing these videos. So it's nice to be able to be like a support person from afar, or have, because I didn't have that. I just learned on my own. I didn't really feel like I needed it all the way, but like, I also didn't, I don't have anyone I can call that has a kid with an ostomy. You know what I mean? Like, there's no one, but there's just no one in my immediate area, you know? So it's nice to really build a support system and connections through the internet. It's just amazing, actually.
No, I can imagine, because it's also with having an ostomy, it's not necessarily just for people with Hirschsprung's. I mean, you can have an ostomy for Crohn's or just all sorts of conditions. You can have various types of stomas, ileostomies, ostomies, etc. So I can imagine the people that follow you are not just looking for Hirschsprung's content, but possibly looking for sort of stoma content as well.
It's so crazy. The other day I was selling, I have an old car that it just wasn't running, so I was gonna sell it for really cheap. And I had somebody come out to my house to look at it, and he goes, you know, I kind of look at people's pages before I come to their houses. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you know what? I have an ostomy too, and I've had it for a couple of years now. And, you know, it's really been challenging. But I think sometimes it like helps people open up, because a lot of adults, I feel like, deal with a lot of like self-esteem, you know, whenever they're in the middle of their life getting this ostomy placement. So we sat there and talked about ostomies, and he's like, I don't get to have this conversation with people. And he had cancer, and so that's why he had it. And it felt really good. Like, it just feels really good to be able to talk to people and like allow them to open up and be understanding, because people aren't always understanding at all.
That is the thing, isn't it? Especially, when you talk about, well, whether it's ostomies or whether it's Hirschsprung's, some people just simply don't know. That's not necessarily their fault, but they just, you can't have those conversations with people because they don't know what you're talking about.
I have no clue.
So
It's
it must
crazy.
be, yeah, that must have been really good just to be able to, like, have a conversation. Again, it's a subject that isn't necessarily going to come up
Yeah,
easily.
no.
So
That's what he
that
said.
must have
He's
been really
like,
good.
I don't just go up to people telling them I have ostomy. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. But I always encourage people, talk about it, share, because otherwise people won't know, you know? Otherwise people
Exactly.
won't know.
Exactly. No, and I think your content's brilliant because it shares, because again, just because some people, whether they just share the good stuff or just share a little bit or whatever, it doesn't mean that the bad stuff doesn't happen, or it doesn't mean that the leaks don't happen. So it must be really good for people to see, oh, actually, I'm not alone in this, because sometimes been there myself, sometimes you can feel a bit alone and you think, well, nobody really knows what I'm talking about. Nobody understands this condition. Nobody knows really what it's called or what part of the body it is. And it must feel quite good for people to see your content and go, well, actually, this person has this condition and they have these sort of similar issues to me as well.
Yeah, I think it helps me learn. I can't say that I understand all the way, because I don't, but I do understand the parenting side of things. For sure. I understand the parenting. I like to have connection. I think it's really good to like be able to just connect. I think that's like the biggest thing for me is connecting, making I don't know, those connections and meeting people from all over. It's crazy the opportunity that has opened up. And I hope my son changes life. Changes life. That's really the goal, and that he feels comfortable, because I don't know when his ostomy will ever, be reversed, or if it ever does. But other kids, I think, I don't know, there's a Facebook group. I don't remember what it's called, but it's the first one I followed when my son had Hirschsprungs, and I've stuck in it forever, or when he was diagnosed. And there was a little boy on there, and she's like, my son has Hirschsprungs and he can't really make friends because he has delay. You know what I mean? Like, that's why we have the internet, because there's not somebody next door with Hirschsprungs disease. It really just isn't,
No, there definitely isn't. No, those Facebook groups are really helpful. I mean, sometimes they can feel like a lot because there are hundreds of posts on there.
Oh my
Especially in some
gosh.
of them, that there's one. I mean, there's like two main ones I think I follow. Is that there's a UK one specifically, and then there's more of like a worldwide one that has tens of thousands of people, which might be the one you're in as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many posts just on there constantly, so it can maybe feel a little bit sort of overwhelming sometimes.
Yes. It was when I first got on there, and I had, like, when my son had the Hirschsprungs, or he was diagnosed with Hirschsprungs. I feel like a lot of people post because they're nervous about something, and so it was really got my anxiety going, thinking that this was how it was going to be for my son. But it also goes to show how people do have different Hirschsprungs and present differently. And I had to learn not to read into those too much, because it did make me have really bad anxiety in the beginning, for sure.
Absolutely. And if we look at sort of now and towards the future, we talked about obviously the six surgeries and whatnot, and the ostomy and et cetera. What do you hope, I guess, for the future?
Sure. I ultimately, like, at the end of this all, I would really want my son to, like, have a typical life without his ostomy bag. I'm not ready, but I do, like, end all be all, I would like for him to be have a typical life. Doesn't mean that having the ostomy is bad at all. I just think ultimately, when it would bo when it boils all down, to not have it, and go to school without the worry of that, which makes me worried. So yeah, end all be all, no ostomy, living a typical life.
Fantastic. Well, this has been really, really good to chat to you. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing your son's story. And I wish you all the very, very best for the future.
Oh, thank you. It was nice connecting with you.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's _Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.